trusting. He's working everything for my good.
He walks beside me.
Oh, yes, he does.
And heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through.
How many of you believe that this morning? Let's stand and sing it.
I'm gonna make it.
He's already said that I would. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be back at camp meeting this morning? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory. Now, I've been in kiddie pools before, and I'm sure you have too as a kid, not lately. But we waded around in kiddie pools, every one of us. But we went deep sea diving here last night. Did you appreciate the word of the Lord? Was it wonderful? Was it good? Amen. The Lord just gives us what we need when we need it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad to be part of what God's doing in the earth right now? As I've said a million times, and I'll continue to say, we are not all of it. This is not the only place. He is not the only pastor. But I'm so glad we're all part of it. God's got a great work going on in the world today. And you know what? We got brothers and sisters we have never seen. We got preacher brothers that we have never laid eyes on. But God's got a great variety of people. Aren't you glad to be part of God's bouquet this morning? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Hallelujah. Let's sing that together one more time. Before we do that, I want you to shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Yes, I'm gonna make it.
with all your heart. Oh, yes, now I'm. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting. He's working.
If you will just remain standing, we got just a few requests this morning. Brother Gene Littleton wants us to remember Sister Vella Baines in prayer. She's going to have eye surgery this week, so let's pray that the Lord would just be with her. Also, Brother Gene wants us to remember his family in prayer, that the Lord would just be with them and do a work in their lives. He's able to do that, isn't he? Amen. Also want to remember Brother Michael Unsford this morning. I think he's still in the hospital, had 4 stents put in. Maybe Friday or yesterday, and so let's pray for him. Also, Sister Teresa Roberts, still recovering from a light stroke that she suffered in the last few days, so let's pray that the Lord would just be with her and give her healing. Brother Greg Robbins, suffering from a severe cough this morning, needs our prayer, so we want to remember him as we pray. I believe that's all of our written requests. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We know we're serving a prayer answering God, don't we? You believe that with all your heart? You really believe that with all your heart? Amen. Brother Rob Weber, come this morning. Take us to the Lord in prayer as we just commit these things unto the Lord. Ask God to have His divine will. We appreciate you, Brother Rob. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, with thanksgiving in our heart, I pray, Lord God, and we ask, help us to have faith. Help us to have your faith. Let us move aside ourselves and have you step in. Thank you for your grace to us, Lord God. Thank you for the message that you had for us last night. Pull us into your presence, I pray, Lord God. Help us to submit. Thank you for all the peace that passes understanding, Lord. Help our faith, Lord, deliver these things that you plan to accomplish in this day. Lord, let the signs follow us that believe. Help us to believe, Lord, with faith, Lord, that the world has not seen since you were here. As your bride is preparing herself for that day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor in the service with us today, we certainly have some visitors. Brother Andrew, Sister Emily, and their family here. They're not visiting, actually. They come back home. And they'll be visiting back down to South Carolina here in a few hours. But we're certainly glad to have them with us in the service today, all of our visitors. Those that are streaming the service today, we pray it'd be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement to you. The shoeboxes, they are available for you to pick up over in the fellowship hall if you want to be a part of that this year. And if you don't have time to go and get whatever you would normally get for that, if you'll just make that known to Brother Michael Bailey, some of those folks in the library, they will take care of that for you. If you want to make your donation, they'll take care of all the legwork, so you can forget that part of it. But let's participate in that, if you will, this year. It's so good to be a Christian this morning. So good to have you in the service. Are you glad to be in church? Look at somebody and tell them it's good to see you. It's good to see all of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing a little song this morning. 10,000 years. We'll just be getting started. You glad about that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing about it this morning, if you will.
You did the chorus first? I think you did.
10,000 years. We'll just be started. 10,000 years, and we've just
just begun. Our over, and the victory's been won 10,000 years, and we just begun.
I want you to sing that chorus again. Man, you know, Brother Donnie's message last night, he said, we're going to shake hands forever, for eternity, and we're going to get to eat. Praise the Lord. We're going to get to eat forever. Amen. Now, you can't tell by looking at a lot of us, but we do like to eat. But it's going to be great to get there. Shake hands forever. Get to eat forever. Don't have to worry about fatness. Men of girth won't be there. They won't be there. It's going to be great to get to that place. And most of all, get to thank Him for all He's done for us. Forever. Don't tell you what. You know what? I don't know about you. I do know about a lot of you. You're just like me. You're just pretty hopeless. Deceived, in sin, all kinds of weights of the old world holding us down. But aren't you glad you've been set free? Aren't you glad you've been set free this morning? A lot of people leave the message and say, I am so free. No, actually, you are so bound. You are so bound. But I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Let's sing a little bit of that little chorus this morning. Sister Caitlin is here from Brother Joe Green's church. If she'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us this morning. We'll sing this little chorus. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Now Satan had me bound. Oh, Satan had me bound.
But Jesus set me free.
Oh, Satan had me bound.
But Jesus set me free.
Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm on my way. The Lord. Give our sister a nice hand as she gets ready to sing for us this morning. You can be seated. God bless you.
Faced before, that's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Some
To give you just a second to forget how good that was. Justin, can you make those words just a little bit bigger? On a balcony of space, stepped a pure and holy God, and in awesome solitude he stood alone. Not one faint star to give him light, just endless rolling blackest night. But somehow, through all the darkness, he could see. He saw mountains high and lofty. He saw valleys lush and green, babbling brooks, wild flowers growing, even heard a robin sing. But he felt a strange compassion as close to love as pain could be. Standing out there in tomorrow, he saw me. He saw me and his likeness. He saw me like him, pure within, but he saw me bound in heavy chains and longed to set me free. For he knew if I became like him, he must become like me. So Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left me crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election, choosing the act of picking out, choosing use of the act of God's free will, of which before the foundation of the world he decreed his blessings to certain persons. Aren't you glad you can read your name in that certain persons? The decree made from choice by which he determined to bless certain persons through Christ. By grace. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Let's read paragraph, page 149, rather, the Church Age book. Jesus Christ is choosing his own bride, just the same as men choose their brides today. The bride today does not simply decide she's going to take a certain man for her husband. No, sir. It is the groom that decides and chooses a certain woman for his bride. St. John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your great word today, Father. We thank you for your immutable counsel, which cannot be altered or changed. We believe today by your grace that we are part of that great program. It's overwhelming to us, Father, to try to look at it and understand it. But we pray that you'd help us today, oh God, great eternal one. May your presence so catch us up into heavenly places. May we be influenced by that realm which we are from. We know we are shadows of light. As long as we're in this realm of mortality, darkness will be around us, but it does not penetrate our souls. But may the light of God from whence we come illuminate us today as we sit together in your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. St. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word. The beginning is the arche, the Greek word arche, which is the principle or the order of things. The first in the order of succession. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And He come to this world, of course. And the Scripture goes on to say that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It goes on to say that when He came to this earth, that the light was not comprehended. But thank God, His mercy has been extended to those who are part of that Logos, which the light itself come as well. Brother Branham mentions it in a very strange manner, in the sense of how that man, as we looked at it last night, coming from the Logos, the first man, the second man, the third man. And we know that we, sitting here today, our lives have been touched by the grace of God. But we hope and trust by His mercy, it's more than just being touched, that it's of our origination, where we came from. Something from the immutable counsel of God, which has been deposited in our souls. You believe that with all of your heart. Let us go on here. According to the Word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. This choosing of the bride was purposed in Himself. This, of course, He gives the Scripture, Ephesians 1:9. In Romans 9:11, it says the purpose of God according to election might stand. You can't read it any other way. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God, was to take a bride of His own choosing. And that purpose was in Himself, and being eternal, was decreed before the foundation of the world. Now, we know that we've looked at it before a few years ago, and early this morning before daylight, the Lord was dealing with me about it. We know that there are two words in the Greek language that is used for our one word, Word, W-O-R-D. In the beginning was the Word. But yet we know that they mean two total different things, and one is Logos, and one is Rhema. And as I was thinking about it early this morning, the Spirit of God was dealing with me. I began to see that there was part of our election that is identified as well as Logos and Rhema, that it is not just in speaking of the Word. Now, in the beginning, of course, was the Word. It is a twofold manner of speaking of Christ Himself, but also speaking of the Word and that which is written. And yet we know that people can be able to take up this Bible and read the Logos of God and understand hardly nothing about it at all. But we know that there's another word which is used, which is Rhema, which is used in several different places. When Jesus uses the parable in Matthew 13, the seed which is sown is the Rhema. And He also uses it in Ephesians 5, Paul does, of the washing of the water by the Word. So the bride is not just washed by Logos, but the bride is actually washed by the present tense Word, the Rhema of God, which is that which pertains to your particular needs for the hour that you're living. Now, most churches around Christendom today have read some of the Logos of God, and they've preached from it, and their ministers will refer back to the Logos. God did this, and God did that, and God did something else. But it takes the real, true anointed by the Holy Ghost to help them to take the Logos and the Rhema and tie together, where it becomes not just only historical facts, but present day truths of where we are. Now, we know that it takes God to do that. It's the same with the predestinated elected seed. Maybe we'll look at it a little more next week in extension of it. But it is the seed of God that comes from His great being. That seed can lay enough in us for years and years. I mean, know that being elect doesn't mean that everything that we do is approved nor chosen by God. As a matter of fact, the elect can live for many, many years a very non-victorious life. Abraham was a very non-victorious individual for many, many years. And so was Isaac, and so was Jacob, and so was Noah, and probably so many of us been. So it doesn't mean that just because we are elect that everything in our life is going to go easy, because it is your destiny that is elect. It is not every choice in life that you make. Now, when we move over into choice, we're moving over into the realm of account or accountability or rewards. You see, it is your avenue of choice of what God gives you when
he gives you the word, and that is what you will be rewarded for. It is in there that you and I will give an account to the Lord. So it is our destiny, which comes predetermined by God, that is our election. But then God lets the agency of free moral agency remain in us, and then we choose. You know what? If you choose to go to church, that's fine. God wants you to do it. But if you choose to stay home and you don't want to go to church, God ain't going to make you go. If you choose to obey the word and live an overcoming, victorious life, that's up to you. God ain't going to make you do it. But it will not, that will within itself does not determine your destiny. But it will determine how much victory you have in your life. People look at their lives and they wonder why they're not living victorious, overcoming lives. For a lot of them, I could trace it down to some very simple, basic things. How much do they read their Bible? How much do they pray? How much do they attend church? How much do they listen to the Word of God? That's exactly right. And you look and you go to measuring by a lot of those very simple things, and you find out this is why a lot of folks don't live an overcoming life. Now, are they Christians? They are. Are many of them the chosen of God? No doubt they are. And they will get straightened out if they are His. But it is under this basis of choice that the Logos seed can remain in the soul, and yet it can be there non-quickened. Now, the light of God can shine upon it, and stages of growth will burst forth, but it does not mean that it will become the very rhema by which you live by that on a daily basis. You see, in our hearts, we can talk about the word, we can love the word. We know the scripture tells us that Herod, which was a very wicked and a vile king, but yet Herod loved an element of John the Baptist and his ministry, which you find it very strange. Herod had a great respect for John and an element of love for John. So isn't it peculiar that people can have a respect and a love for a prophet's message, but not enough love to make them live it. Now, they can want to take up for it. They can want to stand for it. They can want to do whatever they can to try to support it, as long as they don't have to, you know, kind of change their life and bring their lives into moderation. And that's exactly where Herod was. And we see that the word is a seed, and the seed does not, it cannot remain in the stage of Logos. Now, if you can understand it, in the condensation of God, whenever it come from the eternal into the stage of the Logos, and then the Logos condescends on down to become in the form of theophany. It was God condescending of his own being, and God becoming in the form of creation. He wasn't just doing it for himself now, but he's doing it in type, foreshadowing what every believer, every elect seed will do. Now the prophet goes out, go ahead and tell you, he says it in Who Is This in Cleveland 1950. He said that the first man was the unseen man. Then the second man was like a light. And then the third man was like a halo. Then it becomes into the form of the soul. That was the eternal. Now it was in the eternal. And then the soul of man being eternal, placed inside of a human body, then it could fall. It could not have fallen as long as it was in Genesis 1. But whenever this supernatural halo was put inside a beastly body of the earth, then that man could fall. But you realize we're going back now to where the third man, and he also tells us about the third man in 1965, whenever the seed of God being placed inside of you, the third man, which is the soul. So God is redeeming us back to that holy image. Oh, praise the Lord. It is that which we were in the very beginning. Now, not the Mormon doctrine, of course, of preexistence of souls or transmigration of souls, and we were not there in a conscious state in that we were beings in the sense of us knowing it today. But yet we were there in the form of the Word. Now the Word can lay in a dormant state for centuries, actually for aeons of ages. When God spoke and said, "Let there be light," the prophet told us it might have been millions of years before any light ever came. So it shows us that in the space of dormancy, even when the Word was spoken in the original, that God spoke His Word and God let it lay there for many millennia or millions of years or however long it was, and God showing us a principle that when the word is spoken, it may not necessarily take right off just like that. So if it would do that in the realm of the eternal, when there was no one there to doubt it, and God believed his own word, and yet God allowed it to remain there, cannot it also remain in the state of Logos, spoken word inside of the soul of an individual? And it may come to church, and they may have even embraced the message. They may sit under a message ministry, but they never come to that true spot. They may go for years and years before they come to that true spot, before they within themselves actually become the rhema of God, to where that they not only live this from week to week, from Sunday to Sunday, or once a month or whatever more, but it becomes everyday life to them. It's absolutely something they live, they talk about, they think. You know, a lot of folks say, you realize, friends, a lot of folks' problems in the walk of God, the reason they don't do right, the reason they're not faithful to God, faithful to the house of God, it's not because they don't love church. It's not because they don't love all many of those things. It's because they don't love God right. That's the main problem. If you love God right, then the things of God will be so burning inside of your heart. You see, whenever the word changes itself from becoming the Logos and moves into the state of the Rhema, then the Rhema becomes that which is essential and necessary for the season that you're living in. Now, Satan can quote the Logos of God. I mean, he can outquote every one of us. And he knows the written word. He quoted it to the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus was not quoting the Logos, but actually quoting the state of the word that it had entered into him, in that it had become personified in him as the Son of God. Now, the Logos then condescended, overshadowed the virgin, we know. And by creation, God created in her this blood cell and the egg. And then the Spirit of God begins to work this work inside of him. We know that he lives for 30 years on the earth without deity being formed in him. He goes to the river, and then he receives the attribute of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now he becomes a very incarnation of the work of God. So now he is Christos, the Messiah. He was Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. But now he becomes Jesus Christ. Now whenever he dies and ascends and goes back into heaven, then he becomes Lord Jesus Christ, which is the triunity of God emerged into this manifestation of what was an invisible being that become a visible light. Then that light changed into a form of theophany. And then years later, that theophany, of course, was revealed in the form of a man. Now, when he's raised from the dead, he turns back into what? This ability to appear and reappear on the right hand of the throne of God. Stephen would see him sitting there as an embodiment of a body. But then we know when Paul saw him, that he saw him as the form of the pillar of fire. Who are you, Lord? What would he done? He'd turn right back again. It's amazing how that his form can change back into invisibility and also visibility according to the need for the hour. What is he? The Rhema of God. So he's no longer just Logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word said this and the Word said that. So your very need will bring him on the scene according to what you have need of. Oh, hallelujah to God. Now in this great plan of God, watch this. He says, down through the centuries we could go. He said we find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist. Each one of these were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. Then we come to Jesus the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought of God. Now unlike Moses, Moses was a portion of God. Jeremiah, a portion of God. You and I, a portion of God. But Jesus was the very completion of God himself. He was all the thought of God personified in a human being. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed, and he became known as the Word. This is what he is and forever will be. Now it says that he hath chosen us in him. Now whenever this goes out of the eternal and comes into a realm to where humans will be able to see it or comprehend it, it goes out of him, but all that was in the eternal was now in the Logos, which is Christ. Now if you were in the eternal, then when the thoughts of God were expressed in Jesus Christ as we know him today, then all of us move from the eternal into the realm of the Logos, because God, everything that he's going to make, he's going to make it through the avenue of Christ the Word or the Logos. You follow me so far? Now watch, then whenever it happens, that this means that we were right there with him in the mind and the thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. Now look at this word quality. It means peculiar and essential character, an inherent degree of excellence. excellence, superiority in kind. Now look what this gives to the elect. So this quality that is given to the elect is not something that we learn how to do. Now many of the do's and the don'ts around the gospel, we learn how to do. Don't do this and don't say that and don't go here and don't do that. That is not inherent quality. That is not something that is divinely imparted, but we learn it. Our children learn to do certain things and not do certain things. They learn to dress a certain way, and they learn to look at other people who aren't dressed like us, and they say, Mama, why is that man dressed that way? Mama, why is that woman dressed that way? It does not mean they have the inherent quality of the elect yet, but that is the teaching. And should we do it? We should teach our children the right way. But we should also teach them that with that teaching, which is Logos, there will come a state when God wants them to be born again. Now, just because we believe we're elect and preach predestination, we believe you've got to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've got to be born again. Come on, church. Now, in the mind of God, you were saved. In the mind of God, you was already His. In the mind of God, you already have the Holy Ghost. But now when we come down in time, we've got to let that reality, or let that become a reality to us, so that our experience on the earth matches His thought of what He thought of us before the foundation of the world. This is why, of course, the prophet tells us that we was always saved. There was a time that you knew it, but your mind's darkened to it, because in the mind of God, that's where we were. Now, what this means, he said, that it gives an eternal quality to the elect. Watch again, page 151. These who are the royal seed are the elect of God, are the predestinated, foreknown of God, were in the mind of God and His thoughts. In very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed until each came forth in the designated decreed season. As each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. Now, whenever God then forms this little light, we looked at it last night, this little white light, this little halo, it was a supernatural something that was the visibility of God, that God chooses a form to be able to reveal Himself here. Now, we know Brother Bram used these terms, and he told us that He could dramatize it so that our minds might be able to comprehend and understand what was taking place. So whenever the spoken word of God began to utter all the things of creation, we were right there as thoughts in His mind. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. You see, the elect of God, this is what gives them the inherent quality down through the age to be a recipient of the word for that day. They didn't just receive the Logos of past ages. They didn't just memorize what Moses said and memorize what John said and memorize what Peter said, but the elect of God have this inherent quality that gives them the ability to be the word. They're not just going to say amen to the word. Their life, their nature, the attribute of the spoken word in their soul is the amen of God. Oh, hallelujah. God don't want us just amen, 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 amen. We can do that till the cows come home and our life not vindicate the word by a real amen. This is why the prophet tells us what Jeffersonville needs and what the world needs is thousands of lived voices. That's the real thunders of God. Amen. Now notice, then whenever we become, we are that spoken word bride, the spoken word seed. Though she is feminine in designation, she's also called the body of Christ. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in Him. In Him. Now not in me, not in the church, but in Him. Came from the same source, was eternal with Him. Now notice, whenever God now moves into the state of sonship, not another person, not a little boy running around in heaven, but the condescension of God by creation, then when God does this, what happens? You and I come, if we're part of Him, we come from the same source. We come from the same source. Oh my. So Jesus, the human body of God, Jesus, the Logos as we know Him today, the Logos of God that came out of God, you and I come from the exact same source. We are not creatures of time. We are not mishaps. We are not accidents. I said we are not accidents. We are here for a divine purpose. And we come from the same source of the Logos himself. Praise the Lord. Came from the same source, was eternal. Eternal. No wonder you got eternal security. Eternal security is not something you get down here. You're eternally secure because you was eternally secure. It's not something you get here. It's because of where you come from. You came from the same source, was eternal with him, and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body, whereas once God manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, here we are coming to a conclusion as the eternal Logos God was manifested in the Son. And in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh. And thereby gained the title of Son. Lord, children, do you understand? When God gives you the title of being son or daughter of God, do you know what he's saying? You too are that eternal one. Expressed in the body of a daughter or a son of God. Oh my goodness, that chokes some of you death. Do this to your throat. It'll help you swallow it on down. Come on, there you go. Easy now. Oh my. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this. The eternal one must manifest. The Father manifest in flesh and bear by gain the title of Son. Even so, we eternal in his thoughts, in our turn, become the many-membered spoken word seed manifest in blood and flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God, even so as we are called. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. Amen. We were seed and therefore were reborn. Listen to this now. This is the elect in the gallery of God. For only the elect can be reborn. How can you be reborn unless you first was born? You don't remember it. But when God gave birth to a son, you were born. That's heavy, I know. When God gave birth to the Logos, you were born. This is why you can have a rebirth. How can you be reborn if you've not been born before? How can you be born again if you was not first born? How was you born? Oh, this is why you don't remember it. Because you came from the same source. And when the Logos went out of the eternal, you don't remember. But you left the eternal too. You were born into the Logos. This will probably hit some of y'all later, and you'll be sitting at Old Charlie's with your steak knife in your hand, cutting your steak open and maybe buttering some bread, and it'll hit you. They'll throw you out of that place. And you'll realize, Lord, have mercy. I was born. In order to be reborn, I had to be born somewhere the first time. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. And therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. Now, Logos can lay in your being for decades and not be quickened. as the spoken word could lay out there in the universe. Let there be light! 10 years, 15 years, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. Nothing happened. But the halo, the light, catches that word. And he begins to create. Glory. You could be raised up in this message. You could have been taught Sunday school over in the old place as a little bitty fella. And you could be sitting here under me for 30 years and still not be quickened. But this morning it might happen. Amen. Wednesday night it might happen. But if you're one of his, you're going to be reborn. You ain't going to just come to this church and say, well, I believe God sent a prophet and I believe the message. That ain't good enough. You've got to be reborn. You had a Logos verse. Now you got to have a new one. Amen. You were born out of the very existence of the Eternal One in the form of Logos. Now you've got to be born in your own body. You were born into His body. Now you got to be born again in yours. Glory to God, because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there's nothing to quicken. So people then who the gospel is shared with, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have about perish but have everlasting life. And they say, I want to be saved. Oh, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. God says, I'll save you. But they're not reborn unless they come from Logos. Praise the Lord. Now remember, the very man that hears the doctrine of the new birth never got what he heard. Nicodemus. He said, how can me, an old man, enter the second time into my mother's womb? Jesus said, I think you're missing it. And then notice what Jesus goes to. The wind. The wind. He said, the wind blows where it listeth. You don't know where it come from. And you don't know where it's going. That's the new birth. Why in the world would you liken the wind? Well, he's the Logos. He remembered how it was when it was there in the universe, in the galactic systems of the heavens. He's the one who made the wind. Now, Nicodemus might not have known where it come from and where it was going, but it just so happened the man doing the talking knew exactly where it come from and where it was going. So he likens in the new birth in the symbolism of the wind. No wonder, hallelujah, when the Holy Ghost come down in the upper room, he didn't come in the form of a banana. Or a potato, or a slab of bacon, or a hamburger. He come down as a rushing, mighty wind. The creator of the heaven. Oh, hallelujah! What was it? The same kind of atmospheric pressure of the soul is now giving Peter a burst like he had when he come out of the Logos. Glory to God. I know y'all think I'm absolutely nuts. But leave me alone. I'm happier like this than I was the other way. I think you're nuts if you don't like it. So I guess we're on the same plane, aren't we? Hold this carefully in mind now. Take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. God, by His death, the shed blood, bought back His own. He bought back the spoken word, seed, bread. Have you ever heard the sermon, spoken word is the original seed? I mean, really heard it though. What do you hear when you hear it? Do you hear you? No, brother, don't have never hurt me, then you haven't heard it yet. The spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, the word, and they follow me. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That is impossible, for every kind of life produces the same kind, and there is no change in species. As we were in the thoughts of God, then expressed in flesh, there had to come a day. Listen to this, though. You mean we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh, but we wasn't saved yet. So we come from a logos deposited in dust. A sower went forth to sow his seed. Some seed fell among the thorns, some among the riches, some here and there and there. But some was sown in good ground. I want you to notice the difference. Ain't one speck of difference in the seed that was sown. The difference is the ground where it landed. Jesus, in preaching the parable, set forth election. He didn't say, well, there's some good seed here, and this over here wasn't too good a seed, and this over here is kind of second-rate seed, and that bad seed. Every bit of it was good seed. The difference was the ground where it landed. Do you understand? God, by predestination, took every name out of that book of life and dispensationally spoke them into existence and allotted them for a certain time frame. Oh, hallelujah. This is why, friends, we are unstoppable. We are unstoppable. Let the world do what it wants to do. Let them say what they want to say. They will not stop us. We are eternal. You realize it's a spiritual parallel between us and Israel. This week, UNESCO, the United Nations, voted to decree that the Temple Mount does not belong to the Jews. It belongs to the Muslims. You hadn't read that. Well, it's a spiritual parallel. They're trying to take from them their place of worship. The devil, a lot of preachers out of here, and even some inside the message, sad to say, trying to take your place of worship from you. Not this church house, but you, perfect worship God in a human being. You take your place, your original temple mount, Mount Zion, from your inheritance. Netanyahu said they're going to separate peanut butter and jelly. They're going to separate Batman and Robin. He said they can separate that easier than they can separate the Jews from Mount Moriah. Amen. May I say to you, you can separate all, hallelujah, all the things off of the earth. You will not separate this bride from her husband. You will not separate her from her bridegroom. Amen. They are one. This is my inheritance. I feel like Caleb of old. Give me my mount. I figure if I can obtain this mountain of election by revelation, look out, devil. I don't want wealth. I don't want money. I want riches. I don't want your wives. I don't want your money. I don't want this and that. This is my mountain. The revelation of this word of who I am. If I can see who I am, oh my, there's nothing that'll stop me. If you can see who you are, instead of wallowing in your mistakes and your failures, get past all of that and look at who He is, not who you are. As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh. Notice how you come. Your mom and daddy decided they wanted to start a family. Or maybe for some of you it's kind of a surprise to mom and daddy. They wasn't quite ready to start a family. But God already picked your birthday. So He just had to kind of interrupt their plans. Amen.
So the 23 chromosomes from your mother, the 23 chromosomes from your father, mixed together with the injection of the life into the egg. Your backbone began to form. And too many days after that, your spine began to form. A brain stem. So on and so on. Your mother now attached to you, and you begin to control her appetites. She hated dill pickles, but with you in her belly, she loves them. She even wants it with chocolate ice cream. Why? A baby formed in mama is controlling mama's appetites. If a baby can do that, what about the word being formed in the bride? Amen, brother. Let the word go to be forming in you. It'll let go of your appetites of the world. Well, I gotta do this. I gotta do that. Get pregnant. Get pregnant with the word. And that baby Jesus in you will begin to control your appetite for the Holy Ghost and control it for the word and control it for prayer. Your earthly journey had started. Little sperm moves through millions of them. Here's an egg released from the woman. Here it comes. Election. Election. God wanted you to be a boy or a girl, whichever one you was. So God went... And there you started. Well, sort of. The thought of who you were was already in his mind. Even the natural birth, my brother, is election. You see, it wouldn't have been proper for me to have been Donna. And I ain't weird neither, like one of these guys that was born a man and wants to be a Donna. I'm a Donnie. Brother Donnie, I'm a woman. I'm a woman in a man's body. Come up here. I specialize in casting out them kind of devils. Praise the Lord. Well, it'll cost me thousands of dollars to go get a sex change. Come up here and let me cast that off of you. It won't cost you a nickel. And you'll find your original creation of who you are. Come on, children. Oh, my. Let's not limit it to that. May the word of God cast madness ideas away from us. And Church of God ideas away from us. That we can realize we are not one of those that whosoever will. We are one of those that is in the eternal. If you don't know who you are, you need to find out. Glory. As we learn the thoughts of God and then express in flesh. So it come your time. Your mama's water broke. Rush her to the hospital or a midwife or maybe like some of us were born at home. The mom and daddy, all they saw was the natural body. But a thought had been released from God that morning, July the 9th, 1956. I was born that morning and Carol was born that afternoon. Two thoughts released from eternity the same day. A.M. and P.M. She didn't know it. I didn't know it. My parents didn't know it. Her parents didn't know it. But at the same time, a thought of God. And whenever they grabbed me, and she was born at home, and I was born at the hospital. So whenever they grabbed her, and maybe spanked her, and grabbed me, and spanked me. They didn't see it. They didn't know it. But an angel had been hanging around my mama. And when I took the breath of life, Logos! A deposit of God.
So hear from this that was in the beginning. My day came and whoop, the Logos went and landed in this baby's heart. You ought to be shouting with me this morning. It didn't just happen to me, it happened to you. Oh, glory to God. But notice what would happen to me. Lost. Not raised up in church. Daddy a race car driver, stalked cars. Raced and drunk and done all that sort of thing. Not raised in church, just like many of you wasn't. But one day, something started moving. Now, I'm telling you what, some of y'all may not think it, but now, us little Reagan boys is meaner than snakes. We was little redneck hillbillies. Come on now, I'm telling on me, let me tell on you too. The only difference in us and some of y'all was sophisticated rednecks, and we was more common, low down, sorry rednecks. That's not the point! The point is, there was something from the eternal. There had to come a day when we would hear His voice. The Word. And I can remember it like it was yesterday, the first time that something started dealing with my heart. We lived in a really old, rough house. And it was cold and dark. Mom had put me to bed one night. And I don't know why, Brother Terry. I don't know why. I was just a little guy, 10, 11 years old. And I began to think about dying, death. And I said, Mama, do I have to die? She said, yes, Donnie. We all have to die. Well, Mama at that time wasn't going to church, so she never told me nothing about the Lord, nothing about how to remedy death, nothing to do about it. So she turned off that little light, one little light bulb hanging from a wire there in that dark bedroom. And I laid there for I don't know how long, thinking about death. I never prayed. I never asked God. I never talked to God. I didn't know what to say to Him. Glory to God. What was it? It was my election. It was my election that was starting to guide me. Now, some of y'all think this is your free moral agency, but it wasn't. It was the election that was God. God was speaking to my nature. Glory to God. My seed was captured in this prison. But God's fixing to open the prison gates like He did for Peter. There come a day when we would hear the voice of the Word, and hearing the voice, become aware of our Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God. You mean this is what we'll do when we get saved? We'll recognize that we're sons of God. We heard His voice and we cried out, as did the prodigal son. Oh, my Father, I am returning to Thee. Jesus never gave the prodigal son as a parable of a backslider. The prodigal son is a parable of the elect. Glory to God. Before I close this subject, I know there's a question in your mind. You want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. I do not believe in that Mormon doctrine of the preexistence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation or the transmigration of souls. But be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the Word, our seed. That is it, way back there, too far for the human mind to grasp. The eternal God with eternal thoughts, thought and decreed. Now wait a minute, I thought the person wasn't what come eternally predestined.
It's not.
The seed landed in the person.
Glory to God.
Now notice, it's not just this mystical body that God don't know who it is. Listen, the eternal God with eternal thoughts thought and decreed, Jacob, have I loved? But Esau, have I hated? Neither was born, and neither had done good or evil. See, it was the thought. And then that thought became expressed. And God bought back Jacob. So the thought landed in Jacob's garden. Now it wasn't randomly thrown. Just going out throwing it. Well, wherever it goes, it was thrown with direction and purpose in mind. Person of Jacob had many rotten things about it. This is why the person cannot be eternally predestinated. Oh, I'm going to get close to you now. Some of you's got rotten things about your humanity. There's things about us that ain't no good. There's things about our old flesh that's rotten and no count.
That's not what come eternally predestinated.
It was the seed. If your person and your makeup, your humanity is what's eternally predestinated, dear God, I'm going to be stuck with you for eternity. And you're going to be stuck with me for eternity. But that's not what's eternally predestinated. It's the seed. And the seed lands in this embodiment of this human personality. But we not only need a new body, we need a personality change. If not, children, there'd be folks in heaven arguing. Why? Because what clashes?
You believe Jacob had the seed. But he lived for many, many years a non-victorious life. He was a pretty low Christian, as we'd say.
Didn't have much victory. Had a problem with lying. Had a problem with cheating. Didn't pay his bills. Wasn't what come eternally predestinated. God said, that garden's got a lot of briars in it.
Yes, sir.
But if I can get that seed quickened, they'll override them briars. Look around at yourself. You've got stick weeds, stink weeds. You've got everything in the world in this garden of yours.
Yeah.
Come on now. You know, me and Carol, the last couple of years, we've been bothered by stink bugs on our back porch, our screened-in porch. So I've done a little research on them rascals trying to figure out how to get rid of them. And I found out stink bugs don't like strong smells. Now, is that peculiar or what? So they don't like peppermint or camphor. I mean, you think a stink bug don't like strong smells? I begin to realize there's a few stink bugs in church. They say they don't like trouble, but boy, everywhere they go, trouble follows them. Well, hallelujah. So I mix me up a concoction of camphor and a little bit of bleach and a little bit of this and that. And I put it in a sprayer and I go out there looking for them. Well, guess what? I got a dose of it ready this morning. Amen. I want to spray your old stinky hide so it'll help you realize it's not you that's so beloved. It's not your personality that's so wonderful. It's the seed. It's the seed.
The problem of it is, when I come in off the back porch, Carol says, you smell just like that. That's the way a preacher does sometimes. I come off this platform kind of stinky. A lot of it's y'all's fault. Oh, my.
What's this? It was the thought, and that thought become expressed. And God bought back Jacob. Because Jacob alone was seed.
Amen.
Jacob's personality, Jacob's humanity. The real one was seen. Oh, Jacob alone had the seed. That is why he had respect to the birthright and the covenant of God. You see your attitude, friends, toward the Word, the Holy Ghost, church. It tells me a lot about you. Your birthright, does it matter? What are your parents teaching your children about the value of coming to church? Just a miss for whatever, don't matter. Go once a week and you could go two or three times a week. It don't really matter. You know what you're teaching your children? You're teaching them much more by example than I'll ever teach them by quotes and scriptures. Well, my, you got quiet. I think you like the stink bug thing better. My. Listen to this. If you are true seed, you will hear that word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ. There's your rebirth. Now you're immersed back into the locals. You're baptized into the mystical body. Then you become a mystic. We'll not go that way this morning. Oh my. Filling you and empowering you. Well, pray for me. I'm hanging on. Pray for me that I can overcome. You need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost seems to make you shout and say, amen, Brother Branham is a prophet. The Holy Ghost empowers you to live a victorious life. I'm not just fighting battles with the devils. I'm winning. Come on, children. Well, you shouldn't say that. I reckon I should. Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. And ain't no wonder some of you don't live no higher than you do. Your mouth is talking defeat all the time. Well, I ain't no good. I ain't this. I ain't that. Well, hopefully 3 years from now will be better. Why not say today is going to be the new day? It's going to be, Brother Donnie, what if I make mistakes? What if you do? You're going to let that defeat keep you down? The Holy Ghost wants to empower us to live a life. The election is not just something to make you come to church and sit there like a bump on a pickle. It wants to give you a life that Satan cannot touch. Praise God. Empowering you, and you will receive the word of your day and age. My, let me find a place to close. Listen to this. In 1953, now before you can become a Christian, God called you. Not you calling God. God called you. And he called Abraham. He's the father of us all, the faith. Now notice, he said, Abraham, now it's election. Now I want to get on that election strong. Because it's the truth. You didn't become a Christian, just coincidence. Good Lord. You become a Christian before you was in this world. Do you understand what it is? It's just you catching up with the thought. Before you were born, God ordained you to be a Christian. From the Garden of Eden. From before the foundation of the earth. Oh, you say, is that right, brother? That's the truth. God, before there was ever known anything, there was a time that you knew. But your mind is darkened to that now. We must be getting close to the gates, though. The way the word is coming forth. The way it's coming forth and helping us to see. Maybe we thought it would be, you know, like that would just pass through. Is it that way really? Or is it revelation after revelation after revelation? And the change will just be the final step to where we just, consciousness. And the word leading it higher and higher and higher. Oh, hallelujah! Enoch walked with God day by day. That last day, that last revelation was just the capstone of his entire life. There's only been one man on earth that knew he was before, and that was Jesus. He said, glorify me, Father, with the glory I have with you before the foundation of the world. He was the incarnate God. He could move back there and know what it was. But our minds are blackened. So it's like we're looking through a glass. And we're trying to make it out. We know there's something there. But we just can't make it out. We're trying to see it. Oh, he said, we were ordained, predestinated. You know what predestinate means? The destination of anything that was pre-saw by God. Now, you Armenian folks, hang with me now for a few minutes. Now, election is nothing you had to do. It's what God done. God did it in Christ for you. From before the foundation of the world. Amen. Again, I will restore. But God, through election, amen, that shakes you down a little bit because I'm speaking to 500,000 or half a group of Armenians here. But look, it was through election that God called Abel and he had recompense to the reward. Election. Election. Jesus told the disciples he was with them and he chose them. And he knew them before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Is that right? So God places the pattern. Now there'll be an elect that'll go in the rapture and there'll be a group of people that's good, upright, holy living, God saved people that will not be in the rapture. And they'll come up in the second resurrection. Why? God chose those to be in the rapture. Let me close. Abraham, no more than any other man, maybe as far as we know, coming out of Babylon, perhaps an idolater. But God by election. God does the choosing. We can't choose. God does the choosing. We have nothing. Nothing to do with it. What has to happen to the pig to make him want to be a lamb? Something has to come down and change his being. Is that right? Who has to do that? You? Your whole nature's the other way. God has to do it. God speaks. And your nature begins to seek after God. This is what many of you are still battling with on Arminianism. You're relishing this. And you say, but I know I can remember the day. Sure, you remember the day. But apparently you forgot the moment before the day. You're remembering when you've done it. You're remembering when you picked up your Bible. You're remembering when you've done this. You apparently forgot when God spoke to your nature. Hallelujah. God speaks. Oh my Lord. God speaks. God. You mean the same one who said, let there be. Now he's speaking again over the earth. And your nature. Now come on, let's be honest. Many of you love to drink. Used to. You love to smoke. You were so excited about parties. You just look for a reason to party. Ain't Ethel's 87th birthday? Well, let's have a party. She'd been dead for 42 years, but what difference does that make? Let's have a party. You couldn't wait. Party this, party that, party something else. You love drinking. You love running around. You love the world. Come on, children. And all of a sudden, something got a hold of you. And you say, Lord have mercy, what in the world's the matter with me? I don't want to go to church. I don't want nothing to do with God. You didn't. That old nature of yours didn't. But that seed of God, it was time for you to be reborn. Amen. And God spoke. And your nature began to say, God. People say, want to go out for a party? I got Bible studies tonight. And come on, what about Aunt Essel so-and-so and Aunt Susie so-and-so? What about this? I got a prayer meeting tonight. We're playing a tape at home tonight. Oh yeah, I'm still talking about saints of God that's filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of y'all spend too much of your time watching movies and doing this and that and the other. Come on now, surfing the internet. Come on.
Something spoke to your nature. The same God that said, let there be light, spoke over that little logos in your soul. Let there be light. In your nature, your free moral agency has to give way. So God speaks.
In your nature, you... I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Oh, God, I'm going to hell.
Why am I thinking about this? I've never thought about hell before.
I don't want to be one of them holy rollers.
But you see, it does. So your nature begins to see God. So maybe there's a Church of Christ right next door. So you go over there and you think, oh, God, this ain't me. You go down the road and there's a little free will Baptist. And you start on your search. And this is where some of you think you were seeking God. This is where you're tracing back in your journey. And you'll not let it go that it was you seeking after God. It was God speaking. Good if you come through the seven church ages to finally make your way to the message of the hour. Praise be to God. You come from one denomination to another, God spoke. It may have took that many stages to wash you clean to get where we are today. Oh, hallelujah. But God spoke, and your nature began to seek after God. That's when God is dealing with you before anything can happen out here to make you a Christian. Something has to happen in the heart here to turn you to Christianity. That's right. It's election.
Y'all remember it? Y'all remember it? Something began to deal with you. Something spoke to you. Something along the way you saw a church sign. What was it? Election. Let's stand.
I believe in the election of God, that God does the electing. God does the calling. You taking thought cannot add one cubit to your stature. Whatever God has determined to be, it will be. And you are called by election. I've heard people say, oh, I sought God day and night. No man ever sought God at any time. God seeks man, not man seeking God. What even got you to moving? He spoke to your nature. If he spoke to your nature and turns your world upside down, can you imagine what it's going to be when he's going to speak to your body? If he could turn your world upside down from sin and drinking and running around and all of that by dealing with your nature, you imagine one word to your body. I don't know how can it be that my bones, which are 60 years old, my skin 60 years old, and my hair 60 years old, and my tissue and my muscles. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'll move from a time creature to an eternal one. The gray will go out of my hair. The wrinkles will go out of my face. And yours. Don't sit here looking at me, poor old guy. You ought to see yourself. What's going to do it, Brother Jim? The same Spirit of God that started us on our journey. Amen.
Not on your journey as a mortal, but your journey as a thought. And God is reserving the fastest of all travel for his children. When I left heaven, I did not board a 747, DC-10. I did not board an Airbus 330. But I traveled as a thought when I left the Logos of God. And I come down and got in that little baby boy's body. He stifled me for many years. He held me back. But one day Father spoke and my nature began to seek God. Many of you, I come through the church ages too. Baptized in titles. Beat me on the back down the altar and I spoke in tongues for hours, most of the night. But I always knew there had to be more than God. There had to be more to God than that. I run and preached in Pentecost. I've preached 50-some nights in a row. We close out in Louisiana one night. Brother Lance's grandfather's church in Louisiana. Close out in Louisiana one night in revival. Drive all night long. Next day, all that. Be in Indiana the next night. Run, run, run. And then we recorded an album after that. Running, running, running. But I was running without the message. I was doing everything I knew to do. My father was wooing me and drawing me. Oh, glory to God. Look at your journey. Look at your journey. Oh, praise God. Does it matter, my friends? Does it really matter, the human element that we look at that so gets us down? That part is only temporary. But the eternal, it came from the thought of God. Your mistakes, your failures, have you got them? Sure, we all do. But before my mistakes, I was. My rebirth proves I was born of the Logos. My rebirth vindicates my first birth. Which proves I'll have a third one. My third man will be 18 to 22 years old. The prophet said death sets in at 22. So my third man, 18 to 22 years old, dark hair, like the picture hanging on the wall right there, and the poem that Sister Sylvia wrote for me years and years ago. And I'm sitting there at the desk, a young preacher, dark-headed. Thanks to you all and time. Now look at me. Oh, boy. Praise God. Of course, I don't tell what I've done to you, too. But think of it, friends. We'll go to that place where we'll never age. One day. Don't you want to go?
Yes.
Let's go, Justin, to the great warrior David, paragraph 26. For by one spirit we're all placed into the body of Christ positionally. Have you ever tried it out yet? Every man or woman that's in here that's a Christian knows that something's been on you all your life. When you was a child, you longed to serve God. Something beat at your heart. It was God's election. Aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful? Heavenly Father, thank you today for your word. I hope I was able to put it together and make sense out of it all for them, Lord. If I didn't, I pray that you'd take all my mistakes and make it clear to their hearts. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you today. Lord Jesus, we long for that hour when we'll gather and the great body change. And we'll have a body like unto your glorious body. You became the Logos out of the eternal. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You come from there to the theophany. From there to a man. The eternal never had an everlasting body. Until you came to the earth. He would appear and disappear, appear and disappear. But he wanted to become a human being. So he said, from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it. So Lord Jesus, your body was taken from the earth. When Mary ate the food and the bread and the wheat and the grains and whatever more from the earth, it was pulling the particles and the nutrients into her body and sending it to yours. God was forming himself a body. That body lived and died, but he rose again. Now from there, you've raised it up as the head of the new race. You've never aged one day since your resurrection. Praise God. You are that third cycle of the Godhead. God in a man. We come from that thought, that attribute expressed in the stage of the Logos. A celestial body which is there waiting. We come down in time. Become born again. We're longing, Lord, for the final stage. The redemption of our bodies. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. If there's one here today, Father, that hasn't been born again, may this be their hour. May they be reborn today, Lord. If there's one that'll hear this service over New Zealand, Australia, Kenya, Tanzania, Zimbabwe, the UK, France, Switzerland, wherever they are around the world, Iceland. Lord God, may the Holy Ghost come into the room over in Cyprus, Japan, China. Glory to God. May the breath of God come into the room there and breathe upon them deliverance. Lord, I pray for my brother there in Cyprus. I won't call his name, but you know him today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I send your word to him, Lord. Lord God, you see the dilemma he's in, the situation. May the great power of the King go there to Cyprus. You're the same God who was there 2,000 years ago with Paul. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go to my brother and his family, Lord. May you move. Hallelujah. May you move, O Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Drop a rhema. A rhema. From the Almighty into his heart today. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father. We bless your name, Lord God. Can we raise our hands in the presence of the great King this morning, friends? You love him with all your hearts. Are you sure? Be sure of that. Be sure of that, that you love him with all of your heart. That there's nothing between you and Jesus. Your job, your wife, your husband, your children, nothing. That you love him more than anything in this world. Oh, great Adonai. Mighty Elohim. Great Eternal. Way back farther than our minds can go comprehend. When there was no light. It was darkness, yet it wasn't darkness. There was no atoms, no molecules, no time. It was just the eternal. But you had thoughts. You thought of yourself as being a human. And that transmitted you down to becoming Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you today, mighty God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we worship Papa? Think of it, friends, when we gather around his throne that day. And we'll all gather up there and say, you'll give your expression, I'll give mine, Papa. I was lost without you. Papa, you redeemed me. Papa, I was out of circulation. I was over in the hog pen. But your mercy got a hold of me. And I had a new birth. I was lost and you found me. I was sick and you healed me. I was bound and you delivered me. Oh, Papa God. Papa God. I don't know about you. I don't want to wait till I get there. I want to love him right now. I want to love him here today and let him know how much I appreciate him. I don't want to receive of his bountiful hand and not take the time to say thank you. Anybody in here with me? You want to worship him. You want to love him. Give him praise and adoration. Think of it, friends. You see what this does? This totally takes it out of your hands and my hands. It places it in the hands of the Almighty God. This is why some folks can't let it go. That Adamic nature, they've still got to do something to save themselves. So the last thing they hold on to is the free moral agency. When it was God that spoke, and your nature begin to seek Him. Sing for us, Harry. Oh, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord.
You save me from my old life. Forgave me.
Hallelujah.
You cleanse and make me.
Let's sing it together now.
Touch my heart and change my soul.
Let's sing it now, children.
Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You have cleansed and made me whole. You touched my heart, changed my soul.
Shake hands with somebody and tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Been good, Brother Samuel. I'm in the house of God. Amen. Are you glad you're reborn today, children? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made.
Amen.
It's all about you.
Amen, Lord.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back.
Amen.
To the heart of.
Father,
oh, it's all about
you, Lord.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the pain I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades,
sins and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for the song itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the pain I've made it. It's all about you. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord,
yes, Lord,
for the pain I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It should be all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the pain I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to you.